will be able to finish tonight. I praise the Lord for that. The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine, all thine increase. That's a very important verse. Your substance, that's what you receive. You're to honor the Lord with that. The first fruits, that's obviously you don't get paid. You're not a farmer. You're not out here changing your crops for money and all that good stuff. But you get paid for your labor at work. That's what you're to honor the Lord with. The first fruits of all thine increase, all of it, not just some of it. Amen. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's the blessing of the Lord. As we mentioned already, there are 500 references to prayer in the Bible, 500 references to faith, but over 2,000 references to money and possessions. So the person who said, we knocked on his door, he said, I don't really go to church because, when the church talks about money, I leave. So I wonder if he ever read his Bible. Amen. The Lord talks about money. Over half of the parables of Jesus deal directly or indirectly with the matter of one's relationship to wealth or material things. Just think of the parable of the talents and so on and so forth. The Bible teaches us about earning and spending, saving and giving. It even warns us about wasting our money. Amen. That's a lot of what we're learning here in the book of Proverbs. And people often have conflicting ideas about money. Some say it's sinful to be rich, being rich is a sin. No, it says the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself. And they also say it's a virtue to be poor. Although the Bible says the poor will always be with us. That's the Old Testament makes provision for the poor and the law. Remember when they would leave the corners of the fields, when they went out to harvest, they would leave all part of the field for the poor and the needy, and they were to come by and glean and reap all that. So God makes provision all the time. Jesus talked about that, and the book of Proverbs will actually get into that when it comes to generosity tonight, how important it is to take care of others and the needy. Amen? So we start our message out about the acquisition, and we saw these points. How do we get our money? Well, we looked at verses like this verse here. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And then it says, so shall thy barns be filled. It's God who gives us the increase. Amen. So God also in the Bible, we have to understand God can make people wealthy and he can keep people poor. God knows our hearts. So we have to trust him. Obviously, we do our part. The previous message had to do with work. And so we have to do our part. So that's the next point, through labor. We are to labor. We are to be working that God will provide us income. Then we also talked about learning and wisdom. Amen. Learning and wisdom, meaning that we are also to get an understanding and knowledge of God on how to deal with finances. You know, a lot of things as a missionary I had to learn by the school of hard knocks. You know, especially living overseas and filing taxes as an earner overseas, all these different things and what's best to do and that, and buying property overseas, selling property. A lot of it, like I said, the school of hard knocks. You've been down that road. But you learn, you know, and God wants to give us wisdom through experience, but he also wants to give us wisdom and understanding so we don't fall into that trap again or fall into the pit again or make the same mistakes. That's what the Bible can do. It can protect us. We also can get our through loved ones, and that's by inheritance. And, you know, not many get inheritance. Some get some inheritance, and some leave inheritance. It's a good thing to think about that. It's a good thing to leave an inheritance. That's what the Bible says. And so you can get wealth by being passed down from generation to generation. And then through liberality, meaning, you know, God blesses you as you take care of God, other people take care of you. You know, God uses people. Remember the, even in missions, through our missions conference, how God touched the hearts of these churches, and they gave over here back to the Jerusalem churches, and then, you know, Jerusalem's the one who sent them out and helped them start churches, but then they were suffering, and it kind of went back and forth, and then they went, supported Paul, and he was blessed, and the churches he started were blessed because of the giving of others, and this is how God operates. But then there's some dishonest ways, and did I have that up there? Let me see. Yeah. Obviously, there's honest ways, and that's what we looked at, the good ways that God esteems and exalts in his word. But secondly, there's some deceitful ways, and we talked about through lying, through deceit, through the lottery, meaning, you know, just it's all wealth gotten by vanity, and God doesn't honor that. And then through lawlessness, obviously by cheating others. Let's go to Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Do you see that? What does God want us to do? He wants us to work. He wants us to save. He wants us to honor him. He gives us an income that we might be a blessing to the Lord's work, a blessing to others, and also take care of the things that we have to take care of in life. But vanity, again, is lawlessness, and there's many other warnings in God's word. Now, number two, this is where we pick up the advantages of wealth. Yes, we talked about security, but the Bible does teach that there is a level of security having wealth. It doesn't mean we're to set our heart on it. It's not the end all. You know, God is our security and God's provisions. But let's go to Proverbs 10, verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So, do you see the rich man's wealth is a strong city? There is some security in wealth, a degree. It is limited, but it is a degree. Proverbs 18:11. Oh, I'm sorry. Here I am. Reading ahead without putting it up. Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is a strong city, and as an high wall is in his own conceit. So it's not just, you know, with it comes disadvantages, right? People start trusting in their wealth and they get conceited, they get proud. And then it begins to destroy them. But it does provide a degree of security, but it also provides the companionship of friends. Obviously, how many friends want to be around wealthy people? Proverbs 14:20. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Proverbs 19. Now, I think there's a positive and negative side. Don't get me wrong here. Proverbs 19:4. It's just really, it's just a fact. It's just a fact that we have to reconcile. Proverbs 19:4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Verses 6 and 7, same chapter. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Amen? Do you ever go, you know, to those relatives on Christmas Day that give nice gifts? Kids? Yeah, they give good gifts. Let's go visit them. Or just remind everyone, you know, next week's my birthday. Pray for me. It's not, but, you know, some people say that. Let everyone give them a warning. You know, I'm going to be such and such age because they know there's the giver of gifts. Amen. Verses 6 and 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. So, the advantages of wealth. It does provide a degree of security. It does provide friendships. But it also, there's some power or influence with wealth. Proverbs 22:7. I mean, think of the powerful people in the world, right or wrong. I'm not saying it's right, but with that wealth, you can do many things and rise up to power over other people and influence people. Think about people, you know, there's a lot of good-natured, wealthy people, and they basically made their fortunes, and then they go about helping people. You know, they say, hey, you know, let me share this with you. This is how I made it, and this is how I got my money, and now I just want you to understand that. And I forget where I was reading an article, but I was reading an article recently about a man grew up poor. And this is just, I'm just going to tell you his story. His mother was a Democrat. He was a Democrat. He loved his mother. And they grew up poor, and that was their mentality. You know, this is the way it's going to be. This is a true story. Way it's going to be. And he said, you know, this isn't good. I don't accept this. And so he got out of that. Went to college and put himself through college and became a social worker. And then he saw the system. You know, he was really dedicated for years helping children and families. You know, and that was his heart. He didn't get wealthy there. But then he began to invest in real estate at the same time. And as he saw the system, he actually became a conservative. You know, I could say Republican maybe, conservative. It just changed his whole view of life. And he made his money in real estate. And I forget the end of the story, but it was a good story, let me tell you. He cashed it all in, all right? He started a waste management, real estate. He cashed it all in. He's like worth $100 million, something like that. And I don't know. I mean, what I'm saying is it's a successful story, and it seems like, you know, he's out to help people is what I'm saying. That's where he ended up with his wealth. And basically he's like, you know, look at what I did, you know, in a sense. You can do it. Everyone can do it. And this is how you do it. There's a lot of people out there like that. So it does create that influence because you're like, wow, you know, that's a good story. I could probably look into some of this, you know. Maybe I can get involved in some investing over here, here, and here, and maybe that'll work for me. So there is power. There is influence in this. And it says here, the rich ruled over the poor, and the borrower was servant to the lender. So there we have it. You know, if we just want the government to take care of us, we're going to be the servant of the government. And that's, you know, what I'm getting at is, if we just pay everyone's way that's coming into America right now, one day they have to obey what the government's going to tell them to do and how to vote and how to live their life, because they are a slave to that government, that lender. So it provides power or influence, but also it provides the ability to speak freely. Proverbs 18:23. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. It's like, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I don't need you, and here it is. I'm just stating a fact, right or wrong. You know, we have an example of that in the White House, what we had, you know. Just going to tell you like it is. I don't need your money. I don't even want a paycheck. Why? He's rich. Doesn't need the money. He's not in it for that. So it provides this ability to speak freely. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you some facts. Now we get into the morality of all this. Amen. The assessment of wealth regarding gain. What does the book of Proverbs warn us about wealth? There's warnings in here too, as I mentioned. Don't get it in your mind and in your heart that wealth provides everything. That's the solution to your life. If you're rich, then that is the solution. Well, let me tell you some things that the Lord lets us know in Proverbs 10:2. I do have a few of these things. What does God tell us about wealth? 10:2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Amen. But righteousness delivereth from death. Can money and riches deliver you from death? No. Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. You going to pay your way out of judgment? Or out of hell? No. So, righteousness delivereth from death. And how fitting it is. Where do we get our righteousness? Isaiah 53. From the Lord, amen. You need salvation. And the Bible also tells us those who trust in riches will fall. 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Amen. Righteousness again, amen? That's what delivers us. That's what really provides the true and valuable things of life. And the truth is, we need to keep our wealth in perspective. Proverbs 23:4. And I realize most people are working just to pay the bills and get by in life. You know, not really to get rich. You know, they can keep raising. I'm just amazed, you know, at my lifetime, which is a short lifetime compared to Brother West. But just think of how much you know, would get paid in your first jobs. You know, a couple dollars an hour. $2.50 an hour, $3, you know. 5 1/4. You were rich. Making $100 a day, that was some money. I don't even know, I mean, if you, how you make it on $250 a day in this economy. See what I'm saying? You're still going to just get by on $250 a day. You're not going to get rich. Back then, you could get rich on $250 a day. So, I mean, you'd be make, what I'm saying is, you know, journeymen back then were making $25 an hour. You know, that was big money. Now they want to make $25 the minimum wage in certain places. And you can hardly make it on $20 an hour. Much less. I mean, it's going to be difficult. I understand. So it's not like you're laboring, you know, all right, if I get $25, $30 an hour, I'm going to get rich, or $50 an hour. You're not going to get rich on even $50 an hour. Isn't that crazy? So anyway, it says right here, and this is where our heart has to be. And I think our young people understand this. You know, you're not going to land this job and get wealthy. Like, even if you make $150,000, $100,000 a year, you're not going to be wealthy. You're just going to make it in life. That's where we're at today. It's crazy. That's where we're at. Even six figures anymore, just give me 7 figures. Then I... 6 figures don't even, it's like 6 figures just be 6 figures. Wow, you're rich. Right? Crazy world we live in. It says here in our hearts, labor not to be rich. Why do we go to work? Certainly not to be rich. Let's labor to honor the Lord. Let's labor to take care of our family. Let's labor for other things. Amen? Cease from thine own wisdom. And really, I think the next verse is our next point. Riches easily disappear. Look at the next verse. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It's like, yeah. You already, some of you have already made your millions. Believe it or not, you look back in your life, you've made millions of dollars in your life. Now what do you have to show for it? I'm not picking on you, brother. I'm just saying, think about it. I've even made $1 million in my life already. Just because I've been alive and I've been diligent and worked all these years, I've made $1 million, but I don't have $1 million. You, Jose made $1 million. You see what I'm saying? Gary's made. People made millions of dollars. And isn't that crazy? I met my wife. There you go. You shouldn't have got her a credit card, brother. You should have listened to your pastor. Amen. But, right, Rick? Oh, no. That wouldn't apply here. Anyway, this is the proper perspective, amen, of riches. And we need to put it in. Like, where did all that money go? I know we did our best. We did invest in God. That would be a blessing. Look back you know, put your life in perspective. How much did you give to God? How much did you truly invest in eternity and missionaries and the Word of God and the church? Amen. That would be, it'd be a worthy cause to say, you know, by the time I die, I'm going to give $1 million to God. You know, if I have faith for all my life, maybe I will reach $1 million in eternity. Amen. So wealth, as we see it in God's word, can be a blessing, but it also can be a curse. What makes a difference? Wisdom. Wisdom. Right from the Word of God here. Regarding generosity. What does it say here in the book of Proverbs? Go towards 28:27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Amen. This is where we truly believe God's word, and by faith we obey God's word, we practice God's word, and we wait on the Lord. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Listen, don't shut up your heart to the needy. Don't harden your heart. Amen. So we need to be giving toward the needy. We need to be giving our generosity toward the Lord. Amen. What does it say in Proverbs 3:9? That was our text. Honor the Lord. Amen. We're to honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of all of our increase. Be generous toward God. We could go through verse after verse after verse in the Old Testament, the New Testament, of what God promises to those who are generous. Obviously, we'll see some right here in the book of Proverbs. There's the inherent joy of giving. What did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs 11:17. There's joy in giving. And I hope I get the right verses. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. And there is some application there, being merciful and how it blesses your own soul. Let's go to 14:21. Yes. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Amen. So that mercy is when you're giving and supplying their needs, their physical needs, and certainly there's joy in that. You're happy when you do that. But think of the divine blessings. There's natural benefits, that inherent joy of giving, but there's also divine blessings and our benefits. That's the blessing of the Lord. What did our text say? We're to give of all of our substance, all of our increase. And then it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Who does that? God. In response to our giving, God will bless us. Go now to Proverbs 11:24-25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Amen. You give, and then you increase. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. Oh, you can hoard it and never be blessed. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. This is where we have to have faith. If we're faithful to God, God is going to water us. God is going to supply our needs in ways that only he can. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. This is one of those good verses. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? God. Amen. There's a payday from God. So for true happiness, with the Lord as our benefactor, we must be generous. Generous. This is what the Bible teaches. Happiness comes from being generous. Joy from generous. And then it tells us regarding greed. A warning against greed. What is greed? Proverbs 30, 15 to 16. And this is where we got to fight the world and the philosophy of the world all day long. Where do you think, what are they playing on in our nature when you see all the window shopping and the billboards, which they've disappeared, right? Everyone does everything online now. But all the ads you get on TV, all the ads you get through the internet, what is that for? Because they know by nature we're greedy. We're greedy people. And so the world, we got to fight against the world. Proverbs 30, verse 15. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. That's an illustration of greediness, never being satisfied. Insatiable desires. Isn't that what it's telling us here? Laziness. Proverbs 21, 25 to 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him. That desire. For his hands refuse the labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So, we need to understand, you know, you can have these problems in your heart and be poor and not really have a lot. You can be greedy. That's what it's warning us against. And then hypocrisy, Proverbs 23:6-8. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. So here again, it's hypocrisy. So the way, the reason you're doing it is for the wrong reasons. Now there's some dangers of greed. Proverbs 1:19. What's going to happen if we have greed in our heart? So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And of course, it's warning. It's warning us the whole chapter. We know what Proverbs 1 is about. Wisdom. And if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then God says, I'm going to I'm going to laugh at your calamity. So in the middle of all this, it says, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Your life is going to be troubled. Because of greed, our own lives will be troubled, as it's saying here. And also, we will trouble our families. Proverbs 15, 27. There's a principle we're getting at here. Proverbs 15, 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Pretty clear. So, what do we want? Joy or misery? Joy comes from being generous and giving and honoring the Lord. Misery comes from being greedy. And it's going to, we're going to be miserable ourselves, and we're going to make others around us miserable. Troubling our own house. Conclusion. What do we learn through the book of Proverbs? We have wisdom, brethren. We gain wisdom concerning wealth and poverty, generosity and greed. That's basically what we've looked at in this message. We have wisdom here. And with the blessing of the Lord, we can receive both. Wealth that comes from honest labor and generosity that springs from a merciful heart. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. I ended with that, but let me just say this. There is no place for arrogance and abuse if we have been materially blessed. The Lord is the maker of all. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Amen. So we ought not to be proud. We ought not to be arrogant. We ought not to abuse others. God has made us all. And another warning here, Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Amen. You honor the Lord, you're going to be merciful. And so, brethren, tonight, may God give us wisdom. And all of us have income. All of us have wealth. We've generated some wealth. Let us ask God tonight to give us wisdom and the grace to use our wealth properly in a way that honors the Lord and blesses everyone around us. Amen. Let's all stand.